Let us pray. Dear Lord, we believe you see us here, whether we are sitting or standing, singing, speaking, or silent. More important, we believe you see us inside, the inner doubts that we harbor, the inner sadness over what has happened this week, the inner fear over what may happen next week, the inner anger toward someone who has caused us hurt, the inner anxiety over the unknown future. Whatever feelings stir inside us this morning, come and minister to us, bringing inspiration from the outside to our inside. Minister to us this morning through the hymns that we sing, through the sermon, through the prayers, through our fellowship with one another, through the symbols that we see in the church, through the touch we feel in handshakes and hugs. Minister to us this morning, dear Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I want to begin by telling you how glad I am that I could come and be with you this morning, and I know that my wife Joanne, she also feels the same way. We have always enjoyed coming here and worshiping with you, and even though I am a member of another, I won't mention it, denomination, you've accepted me and greeted me and welcomed me very much. I have, though, this morning asked a couple friends of mine to come along in case you start throwing tomatoes or something at me. to protect me. So Larry and Lisa Knapp, Larry was the superintendent at Edgewood, and good friends, and Harry and Ann Meyer, who are from over at Westchester, are dear friends of mine, like my own children. Ann is a daughter of mine, practically. I confirmed her, then I married her, then I baptized her children, then I confirmed her children, and I married her children. So she has been a part of my family for a long, long time. So I did bring them along just in case I need some help here. Larry's going to take over my sermon in case I forget what I am about to say. But the text I selected for this morning and asked Marcus to read took place on the evening of the first Easter. And the disciples and are in an upper room, probably the same upper room where the Lord's Supper was instituted. But they're in this upper room, and they got the doors locked, they got the windows down, and they are afraid. They are afraid because maybe they will be arrested like Jesus was, and possibly even put to death. And so they are afraid. As they are in that upper room, fearing and yet praying, they know that something has happened that morning. The tomb is empty. And Mary came along and said that she had seen Jesus. And she even talked to him. But you know Mary, gets emotional, and she was quite upset with the death of Jesus, and she probably was hallucinating. For as far as they knew, Jesus was dead. His body was gone, and they were scared. And then all of a sudden, without a door being opened, without a window being put up, there stood Jesus in the middle. He was alive. They were shocked. And can you blame them? Stop and think for just a moment. Suppose that you went to a funeral, and you're there at that funeral service of a loved one, someone very dear to you. And all of a sudden, that person raises up out of the casket and speaks to you. Would you be shocked? I know I would. I would really be shocked if that happened. And that's what happened to the disciples. They were shocked. They thought maybe it was a spirit or some ghost that had come there. But then Jesus spoke, and he spoke just the first word that he spoke. Had five little letters. Do you know what that word was? P-E-A-C-E. Peace. Peace be with you. That's what I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning. I want to talk about peace. And I will begin by asking you a question. How many of you can truthfully say that you are completely at peace, 100%? That you never have anything that upsets you, that you never have anything that irritates you, that you never have anything that bothers you, that you never have those nights where you wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep and you toss and tumble around. You are 100% at peace. Is there anyone here this morning that is 100% at peace? If you'll raise your hand, I would like to meet you because I think you're in heaven. But for the rest of us who do have sleepless nights, who do have things that irritate us, perhaps it's our wife or our husband or our children, we have things that upset us and disturb us. I want to talk to you about where to find peace and how to get peace. Now, where can you get peace? Well, you know, first of all, peace is not something that you can go to a grocery store and buy. You can't go to Kroger's, for example, and go up to the meat counter or someplace and say, I'll have a pound of peace for today. That's how much I'll need. You can't do it. Because peace is not something material. It is something that is inside. our mind, our heart, our soul. That's what peace is. So how do you get peace? Well, in order to find really true peace, first of all, you have to deal with your past. You know, as we go through life, we make mistakes. We commit sins. We have resentments. We have failures. We have hard feelings. And these things continually pop back up to destroy our peace. So how do you deal with that? Well, David Spangler, who wrote the book, I think it's called Everyday Miracles, lived in New Orleans, and he tells in this book about that. In New Orleans, if you've ever been there, I was there a number of years ago, they have several beautiful parks that are along the marshes and bayous. And David liked to take and walk through these parks. Now, along the parks are these marshes. And in the marshes lives one of the most ferocious animals there is, the alligators. And what David would do, he would walk into the park and would walk for a piece, and he'd find a place where he could sit down and rest and relax and just watch. But he always carried with him a little bag of big marshmallows, fluffy marshmallows. And as he sat there, he would toss a couple of them out into the water. And before very long, he'd see two little eyes pop out of the water, the murky water, and start swimming toward those marshmallows. And next thing he knew, those two eyes became four, and then six, and then eight and more. And then suddenly, one of the alligators would come out and leap with his ferocious teeth and grab that marshmallow. For some reason, alligators love marshmallows. But it reminded him of us and our memory. You know, as we go through life, maybe we have some sin that was maybe years ago, and then all of a sudden it pops back up again. David, as he sat there, he thought, you know, here I was walking along, and I had no idea that there was an alligator around. And all of a sudden there was one, two, three, four, or more that popped up. And he said, that reminded me of my sins. Sins that I thought were gone, long gone, suddenly will pop up, or some failure in my life. And it destroys our peace. But how can you get rid of them? How do you deal with them? Well, this is where Jesus comes into the picture. You know, Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for your sins. Not one, not two, but all of them. He suffered and died to pay for every single sin you committed. And when he arose from the grave, it proved that the Heavenly Father had accepted him as a payment for your sins. You say, well, Pastor, I know that, and I believe that, but yet I still have those sins popping up now and then. What can I do to get rid of that? Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. I had a woman who was probably in her 70s. She came to me one day and she said, Pastor, I've got a problem and I need to talk to you about it. Now, this was a woman who came to church every Sunday, who sang in the choir and everything. And she said, I committed a sin a long time ago. And ever so often, that sin comes back. And it really bothers me and upsets me. How can I get rid of that? I said, okay, there's two things. First of all, have you really confessed it to Jesus and asked him for his forgiveness? And secondly, have you forgiven yourself? You need to forgive yourself and take those past sins in your life and nail them to the cross. And once you do that, those sins are gone. They are no longer in the memory of God. No longer will you ever be held accountable for them. They are gone. The alligators of your life are gone. And then you have peace. Secondly, the thing that disturbs our peace is our daily life, the present. As we go through life, we have heartaches, we have disappointments, we have trials. We have all kinds of things that disturb our peace. Well, Jesus has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, and I will be with you no matter what." But do we believe it? When a heartache comes, do you allow Jesus to wipe away the tears? Do you allow him to comfort you? Do you allow him to strengthen you for your daily life? Yes, lo and behold, I am with you. But do we truly, truly believe it? Or do we have doubts when that tragedy strikes? That's where Thomas comes into the picture in our text for this morning. You know, Thomas was not there that first night. But a week later, during that week, the disciples said to Thomas, "Thomas, we got great news for you. Jesus is alive. He really is." And Thomas said, "I don't believe it." "Thomas, it is the truth. Jesus is alive." Thomas said, "I do not believe it. And until I take my fingers and put them in the holes in his hand and take my hand and thrust it into his side, I will not believe." Thomas was a doubter. And you and I, as we go through life, how often are we doubters too? We wonder if Jesus really is alive. Is Jesus really with us when we're going through a tragedy or a heartache or a sorrow? We have our doubts. In the play Jesus Christ Superstar, one of the singers sang words like this: "Jesus, if you are divine, change my water into wine. Jesus, if you're not a fool, walk across my swimming pool." You and I have our doubts. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would take and arrange the stars in the heavens so that they said, "I am Jesus, I am alive." Of course, we'd want it in English, wouldn't we? We wouldn't want it in Spanish. But we would like proof, wouldn't we? Wouldn't that be great? Or wouldn't it be more wonderful if he walked right down this aisle right now and said, "I'm Jesus. Look at my hands. Look at my side. I'm Jesus." We would believe, wouldn't we? You see, Thomas wanted that type of proof. Well, a week later, Thomas and the disciples were in that upper room again. The doors locked, the windows closed. And suddenly Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And he said to them once again, "Peace, peace be with you." And then he turned to Thomas and he said, "Thomas, come here. Take your fingers, stick them into the holes of my hand. Take your hand, Thomas, thrust it into my side and quit doubting. Start believing." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen but believe." Do you believe? When a tragedy hurts or hits, when you go into a doctor's office, you hear bad news, when you lose your job, Do you believe that Jesus is with you? In Hebrews, and I believe it's chapter 3, verse 15, he says, I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. Do you know what the word never means? It means never, ever. From this moment on, never, ever will I forsake you or leave you. Do you believe it? When you believe that, then you have peace in your present life. And that leaves one more area that destroys our peace. And that is in the area of the future. Let me ask you, how many of you are afraid of death? Be honest, any of you? If you have a loved one who is about to die, do you fear death? Wonder if you'll ever see that person? Do you ever go up in an airplane and you're afraid that it might crash and you would die? How many of you have bought your cemetery plots? How many of you have set up your funeral service? Why haven't you? You know, it makes it tough on the family at the last minute if you use, I hate to use the word kick the bucket, but suppose you die. And at the last moment, your family has to do all that planning. But why don't you plan? You know, people don't like to talk about death, do they? King Louis of France was a person who would never go by a cemetery, would never look at a memorial to death. He would never attend a funeral or anything because he was so afraid of death. But Jesus said, death, where is your sting? One time when I was, a number of years ago, and my oldest son, Danny, was maybe 5 or 6, we were driving through the countryside, and as we were driving along, I had the windows down. It was a beautiful day and warm, and a bee flew in the window of the car. And it scared my son. He was really scared. And so I pulled to the side of the road, stopped, and we tried to chase that bee out of the window. But instead of chasing him out, he lit on my arm and he stung me. And this scared my son even more. And then when the bee got away and I didn't get to grab him or hit him, he was afraid it would sting him and would kill him. And I said to him, Danny, you don't have to worry about that bee. It's lost its stinger. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave, death lost its stinger? No longer can fear hurt you. Its stinger is gone. And not only is the stinger gone, but death has been conquered. Because he lives, we will live too. That's a promise. One time there was a little boy by the name of David, 5 or 6, and he was with his grandma for the day. And in the afternoon, she decided, well, I'll take him for a walk. So they started going for a walk, and they came to a cemetery. And she said, well, let's walk through the cemetery. And so as they were walking through the cemetery, the little boy noticed that there were 2 dates on the tombstones. So he said to his grandma, what are those dates for? And she said, well, the first date is for when a person is born, and the second date is for when a person dies. And they walked a little further, and he said, but grandma, some of them only have 1 date on it. Why? And she said, well, those people have not died yet. Well, he didn't quite grasp that. And that afternoon, when he was home with his mother, he was telling her about the things he did. And he told her about going through the cemetery. And he said, and do you know, Grandma or Mom, some people in that cemetery are buried, aren't dead yet. Do you know, those are words of truth. Even though we may be buried, we're not dead yet. And we won't die. Because when he arose from the grave, he assured us that because he lives, we shall live too. When you believe that, then you have peace in the future. So how do you get peace? You get peace, first of all, by getting rid of the past and nailing it, your past sins, and all on your cross. You have peace in the present when you truly believe that Jesus never, ever will leave you or depart from you. And you'll have peace in the future. And what a beautiful peace awaits us in the future. A wonderful home. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. Think of it. We will be with Jesus. And not only with Jesus, but with our loved one. Your spouse who may have passed away. Your son or your daughter, your parent. Your brother or sister. You'll see them. And you will spend time with them again in wonderful fellowship. A place where there are no more tears, no more heartaches, no more sorrows, no more disappointments. Because he lives, we shall live too. Peace. My peace I give to you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask that you will give us your peace. Peace so that we can forget what has happened in the past that has hurt us. That we can put our complete faith and trust and believe in you. And peace in the future, in our eternal home, in your kingdom. Grant this to us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.